Welcome to Cutting Education. This is episode 3. We're live from Austin, Texas at EdCamp ATX, and we're having an awesome time here so far. We're getting to hang out with Tech Ninja Todd, and we're getting to hang out with iPad Sammy. We're just so many people here. I could probably go on and on all day just talking about that, but we're ready to get into it and share some stuff. It's been a while since we've done this, so I'm ready to get into it. How's it going, Kenya?
Good. I'm Kenya75 on the Twitter as Kenya75. I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here. It's been a long week of conferencing, but we're excited to be here at EdCamp and have a little fun with our show, our podcast.
Right. So you want to get us started with some stuff that you wanted to show us?
I do. The first thing I want to share is something called, it's been around for a long time. We've talked about it before, Jake. It's called BigHugeLabs.com. And in one of the chats I participate in and I'm a part of, it's called ITS Newbie Chat. One of the things we're doing is we're talking about a book that Adam Bello wrote and Steve Dembo. And it's called Untangling the Web, and they talk about Big Huge Labs, and I had never really used it before, but I got a chance to really play with it in the past few weeks and show some things to my teachers and do some trainings, and it's really neat. There's basically the premise is that you can use your photos to create different things, and what I've done is I've created like a whole Google presentation for my teachers to see all the different ideas and examples of how you could use Big Huge Labs. And like you and I talked about how there's a movie poster creator. You could create movie posters. One thing that I did was I took one of their creators, which is a motivation poster creator, and one of our teachers is GT. She's a GT teacher. Well, she might be GT herself also, but she probably is. Yeah, most GT teachers are GT. And she's a first grade teacher, and she came to me one day, and she's like, I'm looking for ideas, but, you know, she doesn't have iPads, so she's looking for Web 2.0 tools that she can use. So I found Big Huge Labs, and one example I shared with her was creating motivational posters for an animal, like if they have an animal project. So what I did was I created one about emus, and the motivation, it looks, you know, those posters that have just the black all the way around the edges, and then they have like a title and then like a tagline. So for the first slide, I found a picture off NetTracker, which you can use through our school district. We use NetTracker, and I found a picture of an emu, and I just wrote like under it emus, and then I gave a short description of emus underneath it. So what I've done now is I've created like 3 or 4 different slides of these motivational posters, and I dropped them into a Google presentation. And her kids could either do it where they were, they could do it where they were each collaborating and each collecting or creating a different slide, or they could all have their own, and it would be on Google Drive, and they could present it with the class. It'd be super easy. She could use it as a station in her class because they have 4 desktop computers. You know, I think something that I'm noticing a lot of teachers really struggle with is, well, I don't have a device for every student, you know. Well, yeah, you're probably never going to have a device for every student, so use it as a station, or kids can work on it at home. They have access to our Google Drive at home. So and that's just one thing on Big Huge Labs is this motivational poster thing. One thing I found is creating magazine covers, and I have some examples for that that I shared with my teachers. There's just so much stuff, and I can't believe, I feel so late to this party. I can't believe that I'm just now hearing about Big Huge Labs, and I think, I know you said it's been around a while, right?
Oh yeah, I think it's been around a really long time. I didn't, you know, I just found out whenever, I guess it was ISTE when they did a presentation on that Steve and Adam Bello, I guess that had come out with their book, and was it then that they did a presentation about it? But I'd heard, I didn't know that you could log into it. I didn't know that you could actually save all the stuff that you do. I just had my students create things, and then they would post them onto their blogs for class. But you can actually keep everything there also, so you don't have to worry about losing stuff, too. So I didn't know that.
Well, and educators can create an account. And I did a training on it last 2 weeks ago with my teachers. And they can create an account, and they're able to get rid of the ads on the side. You just have to send a picture of yourself with your ID, and it's free, no ads. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't. My kids had done the billboards, and they had done Yeah, I just mostly just, and then there's one with, I guess, a picture of a barbecue place or something. It's like pork big. Anyway, they just made, and then the traffic sign. You can also create the traffic signs. You know, the sort of, not the, the road signs, but the ones that are with the lights to tell you that something's closed, this road's closed down or whatever, so they can add the text to that. And so that's some of the ones that they did mostly just for fun, but I just wanted to show that to them. But they really love it. The kids really love it for sure. And there's so much you can do with it. You told me about so many cool things that you've done with it lately too. With all of your pictures, that making all the great collages that you've got for your...
Well, yeah, all those things I've just done with my... Yeah, I didn't know how people did some of the Facebook banners and on my phone and on my computer, and I've shared just a lot of stuff that I've done, so...
Yeah, very cool. BigHugeLabs.com, awesome stuff. So I'm excited. It's actually rolled out. My big thing, I guess not my big thing because I'm not involved with them, but... Some of these places I'd like to be involved with. I feel like it'd be easy to go and spread the word about some of these tools. Selly was just had a huge revamp, and the look of it's completely changed. Not completely changed, but it's a lot easier to see all of your cells. So Selly is a tool that you can use like other tools for one-way communication, so that parents can sign up by text to your specific Selly cell and then receive all your messages through text notifications. Or you can use it in class to have students talk to each other for sort of a chat room. You could also do it as a back channel for class. It's just, it's so flexible. And again, that's just one of the things that I love about, oh my goodness, iPad Sammy's here. Hey, iPad Sammy.
Am I on?
You're on, we're live. We haven't shared it or anything, but we're live. So we're not live, I guess, because nobody would be watching live unless
we're sharing. Well, it does say, we are technically live, we're just not sharing, right?
We are, that's true. And we're here at Camp Austin, at Camp iPad Sammy right now. We're hanging out and learning with him all day.
It's not that, please don't call it that.
You'll get in trouble if we call it that, right?
Maybe that should be the name of the show for today.
We should change it to Ed Camp iPad Sammy.
I think that's probably good, yeah.
Surface Sammy, is that right?
Surface Sammy, also a viable option on the Twitters. It's up to 14 followers.
Really? I'm one of them. I thought.
No, I'm one of the other 12 followers.
Unfollowed.
That's awesome. I was just talking about how Selly just came out with the revamped look and how I love it because it's so flexible, and that's one of the tools that I love. And I use it with my parents. But check it out if you haven't. Whenever you go to Selly, CEL.LY, it's actually next Selly, and then you could look at the old one if you're used to it and want to check out the old one. But cool stuff. I'm excited for them. Awesome stuff. So Selly. Check out Selly.
Not to be confused with the rapper Nelly, who sings Country Grammar.
So we get extra jokes. Is that the
yeah? That's what I'm here for.
The benefit of having Sammy is we get jokes.
Right on.
Yeah, they're not necessarily good jokes, but there you go.
Right, some extra jokes. That's good. I like that.
We haven't talked about Sanderling yet.
Okay, this is the
one. We're stealing Kenya's turn to talk about stuff. But
okay.
But what about Sanderling?
Talk about Sanderling.
I learned this from Jake, by the way. Sanderling, I've signed up for it. He's the one that...
Good.
I don't know if everybody on this podcast knows it, but I go to Jake Duncan and Kenya for all of my app needs, and... The thing is, I'm not really kidding. it's actually pretty much true. They make me look good. I guess good. I don't know.
Yeah, you look pretty good. Yeah, you're the pro. We're learning. Techlandia Cast is my favorite podcast.
Oh, thanks.
Don't tell Tech Ninja Todd that.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we won't tell.
We'll find out if Tech Ninja Todd listens to our show.
That's right. So tell us about Sanderling.
Yeah.
Tell us about Sanderling?
Yeah, you go ahead.
You're the guest.
No. Go ahead.
No, Sanderling does an awful lot, too. It could be like a blog platform. But I think the big idea is it's a place for teachers to get together and collaborate, to make projects happen, to find something that they'd like to do and find ways to, goals that they can set to make those things happen. It's just a great collaborative platform for teachers to work on projects together. And, I mean, it really is sort of, I don't know if it's easy to explain. There's a lot to it. You can make it whatever you want it to be in a lot of ways. But it's Shelley Blake Plock is one of the people who put that together and is sort of making that happen. There's a lot of great folks behind it. When I was at Edscape with Eric Scheninger, and got to hang out there.
Ooh, a name drop
and,
right there.
And George Kuros was there keynoting.
Ooh, a double name drop.
Right. Well, and of course with Shelley Terrell.
Triple name drop.
I got to hang out with him a little bit, and that was Teaching Daisy who was there representing them, and they did a lot of really cool stuff there for a scavenger hunt. So they got a lot of people using it, but it's just really, it's a great platform, and I'm looking forward to the iOS app version that's coming out. Hopefully soon, maybe they'll hear this and they'll decide to make it happen a little quicker. But it's available for Android, and then it's also available on web. So Sanderling is great from an estuary.
And it's like kind of like a field journal kind of type thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so I guess we should have said that it's the field. Thanks, Kenya.
Yeah, because I belong to it, so I better say what it kind of is.
Should we say that that was our first project that we started on it, was to create an educational podcast?
I think that is one of the choices, isn't it? Or no? Don't they have, like, things you can do, right?
No,
like,
we created that one. I created that
oh,
one.
Oh, we did? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then people who were on Sanderling said, hey, you should check out Techlandia Cast would be a great one to check out to learn from. And I was like, well,
wow.
Okay.
I'll have to listen to that one.
That one's interesting.
Maybe on the way home to Dallas tonight, I can download some Techlandia.
That's right. Hey, you know what? We did put up a new podcast just at 4 in the morning. That's why I look so sleepy. I'm looking at my eyes. I look so sleepy. But we put in the George Kuros second interview. We put that one up where George Kuros plays the part of Secretary of Education Arnie Duncan. And then I and Waka Patui the puppet play the part of Sal Khan. It takes two people to play Sal Khan.
When did you see Waka?
I see Waka whenever I am. Whenever
another
we're in town
podcast?
Together.
Are we gonna? Okay, right. Good. No, yeah. I was like, are we gonna talk about more?
I wasn't actually
gonna
talk about that one, but I was gonna say last time I saw Waka was ISTE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Waka was good, but yeah, he came out on the Google Hangout with us.
Waka said he would do a Google Hangout with me sometime, but I haven't taken him up on that, so maybe after this I need to get him to do a Google Hangout.
Well, he is the top edupuppet of the Patui Network.
And who's second in command, iPuppet Sammy?
I don't think iPuppet Sammy gets a lot. You know what? We need to get iPuppet Sammy out there a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I follow iPuppet Sammy.
I do too.
I'm prone to the pug, and I can't remember... Is there her name? You've got to know this, right? I believe it's a her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, enough with the Sam Patui chat, but Sam Patui is a good person to follow. And we followed his SmackDown at Jed Camp San Francisco a couple weeks back, and it was interesting just to watch the teachers there talk about stuff. And they had about 50 people there, so that was kind of cool.
That's
but
awesome.
Kristen Swanson was one of them. And Kristen Swanson is my idol because she started at camps. So there you go.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep.
I learned something new.
Sam Patui, though. Sam Patui was the first person that I saw to tweet. No, it was Dan Callahan. But Sam Patui also tweeted out the Dew Ink green screen app, which is just a really cool tool. I'm not sure how much that costs, but it's a pretty amazing tool. I don't have an iPad, so I can't use that yet. But anyway.
Well, maybe I can use that with my new morph, my green morph suit I got for Halloween.
Oh my goodness, you can be invisible.
Oh, that's right, I saw that. You know, how much did you pay for yours?
Like $45.
Okay, so I went to Target the other day, and I will show off some of the things that I bought from Halloween, discounted 90%.
Oh, no way.
Green bodysuit, or no, mine was blue. $3.
Wow, yeah, I knew they had them, but the one I got is the actual morph suit. Like, it's a brand, so I'm sure it's a lot more quality than... I saw them at Target, too, but I just happened to go to Party City because it's by school, so...
Okay, so yours is the actual... Yeah, I got kind of probably the generic version, but $3, I figured...
Yeah, no, you know, get it.
A bodysuit just as bad as anybody.
Right. That could be one of our next podcasts.
I was really thinking about wearing it on the podcast tonight.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe I'll wear the mohawk. All right, can you give it to us? What you got for your ad?
All right, the next one, which Jake knows this already, but Sammy doesn't probably know this as much, is I want to talk about codeschool.com. And it is a website that you can take coding, all kinds of coding and programming courses. And I haven't really delved into it real lot, but my CT at school told me about it, and there's a lot of free courses you can do. And some of them, like, they have, let me look at it. They have, like, Ruby, Path, JavaScript, HTML, and IOS, and there's different courses you can take with each of those, and some cost money, but some are free. But my CT told me about it, and I love it because I think it's great that people continue their own learning, and if programming or coding interests you, I think this is a great site to use. Jake and I had talked about codespells.com, I think? Yeah, we had talked about Codespells, I think, on one of our other podcasts, but my CT showed me this one because he knows I have this after-school girls club called Little EdTech Women, and right now we're just doing hopscotch and Scratch and things like that, but eventually, as they get a little older, and maybe next year when some of them are in fifth grade, because they're fourth and fifth, I'd like to do more actual, I don't know how to code or program, but I'd like to help them learn how to do those things, because they need that stuff, you know, it's going to make them marketable, especially as women, so that's mine, codeschool.com, and I mean, if I had time, I'd like to be doing some of those courses myself.
Did you have any that you would, you said hopscotch, I mean, the Daisy the Dinosaur, I think Daisy the Dinosaur would be too young for...
Well, it is, and I've looked at some of those. Like, there's one called Bebot. There was that that thing that you posted on Google Plus from Chris Betcher, I think it is. It was his I think it was his K-12 online thing he did, and I learned about a lot of them in that. But we're just starting off slow because I'm not doing every week with them because I'm out of town and at meetings and things like that. But definitely Scratch. We're going to start doing more Scratch. It's similar to hopscotch. So because we have enough computers for all of them. But I only have like 8 iPads, so.
Scratch.
Is this? Oh, that's hey, funny. A joke?
You talking about to play hopscotch?
Yes.
That seems like
the opposite
of PE chat.
Well, it could be any sort of after school club. I mean, it doesn't have to just be technology, but you know.
We actually talked about, not to bring up stuff, but we did talk about coding. Last week on my other podcast, the Tech Educator Podcast, and I'm really not obsessed with podcasts. We talked about the coding stuff, and we tried to get a pretty good list together. We demoed Daisy the Dinosaur. Sam did, and then we demoed Hopscotch, and we kind of looked at Daisy the Dinosaur as the Matt Gomez kindergarten early learners, and then Hopscotch is kind of like for middle school, or not middle school, but the middle grades. And, gosh, I don't know if it's Code School, but there's one site, I'd have to go look it up real quick. There's one site that I saw where it's coding and it has like a rectangle and it says, okay, now change this number and make the rectangle wider or whatever. And I looked through that and I did a couple like lessons on it. I thought it was really cool, but I'll have to grab the name of it. It might've been Code School, but I don't know. That doesn't sound like what you were talking about.
Code School, too, I think, could be more like middle school, high school. I don't know if my girls in fourth and fifth grade would be able to do it, but it's something I'd like to lead into, like, middle school for them, because they're all going to be going to the largest net zero middle school in the country, and it's, like, got, everyone has, like, iPads and laptops, and they're going to need to know that stuff. So I would love to be able to get, like, move them in that direction, you know, where they could eventually do codeschool.com.
Right here, I'm gonna go find the name of it.
I hate saying
there is some site and then not give me the name. I'm gonna go get it real quick.
Okay.
I think that means he's got to go to work. Can I brag for a minute then? Because
do it.
Yeah, well, my kids, the University Interscholastic Lead has programming as an event in high school, and my kids have Java, and so basically we won that every year by default by just knowing a little bit of Java, and we went on to region, where we actually at least had to compete. But at the district that I previously taught, I did that. I had at least a couple kids who were a little bit into programming, and I teach my kids a lot of basic HTML, or I taught them, not my sixth graders now, but a few of them really wanted to sort of go above and beyond, and there's a group of these kids in high schools everywhere now that know these things, that are learning to do some Java coding. And the teachers need to find them, find those kids that are really into it, and give them a lot more options for things to do with it. But it was sort of an honor for us that it's always points. It's always we're competing against other schools in our district. And so we won first for the couple of years that I did that at the high school that I used to teach at. So these kids that are into Java are out there, and they sort of inspire and motivate these other kids to get involved. And that's one way that they're going to sort of be guaranteed a medal for right now. More and more kids are going to get into this, but I mean, anything to get kids excited about something and to want to learn something and just get better at it. So
it's almost, is he back? It's almost like we need it for the lower grades though, too. I mean, maybe we should talk to UIL about doing something for coding or programming in elementary, you know, or middle at least. I love this podcast. It's great. It's much more entertaining than when it's just Jake.
Thank you.
Well, Jake is great, but I'm saying there's two to look at now.
All right, so I did find the name of the website I was talking about, Code Monster.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Let me look it up
and
now.
So that was the one that I was talking about. You can just kind of pick it up right away and start going. And so I do have a list on Listly, and it's just called, I think it's called, like, Coding for Students, or you can search for John Jameson or whatever. But there are, like, I found some books, apps. We have, like, the whole gambit there on coding stuff. And I just haven't had time to look through it, but it's Code Monster by Crunchzilla. And I think
I
have to count how many people are at EdCamp, so I'm sorry to leave.
Could I say I'm following I'm following iPad Sammy on Listly, and...
Oh, I saw that I did see that.
Because
thank you, one follower.
Right. Because Shelley Terrell is in love with Listly, and I hear about it all the time, how wonderful Listly, and it is, it's awesome. It's probably the best curation tool there is for stuff out there compared to, I love some of the other ones, but, okay, so his Listly list is where, he's worth following just for his Listly list for that, but we'll tweet that
for
out.
For iPad Sammy?
Yeah.
Well, probably if you don't follow me, you should anyway, so.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, no, on Listly, it's worth actually. He makes Listly lists for almost every EdCamp he goes to for all the new tools. I don't know if everybody has a Listly, but it might be worth getting a Listly just for that because it's a really great curation tool, but you'll be able to see all the stuff that he shares that way too.
Right.
All right, my bad. Now, this is the most maybe manic or ADD podcast ever also?
It's because John's on our podcast. It's ADD.
Right?
Got a little ADD going. Okay, what's next, buddy?
I thought for sure you were wanting to. Okay, well, I'll jump into something because I thought
we're just going to go back and forth.
Excited about this other thing. Well, I'm going to ignore Google Helpouts. Google Helpouts are really cool. I'm really disappointed in myself that whenever I got the invite to them that I didn't go ahead and create one and start trying to help people out, but I never really got it finished typing it up. But Google Helpouts are basically Google Hangouts that people can charge for, or they're free. So there are an awful lot of Google certified teachers that are willing to help people out with things, and so you can go to Google Helpouts and check that out. It's pretty cool. So you can hang out, you can find people to hang out with based on whatever your needs are, and you can create your own, and you can charge people by the 15 minute, however you'd like to help them out with whatever you could possibly help out via a Google Hangout for. But okay, I've got to jump to it. Kahoot, because you've heard this over and over again, right?
And
I just go on and on about how much I said people can't leave EdCamp ATX today without knowing about Kahoot. It's sort of a gamified version of Socrative or student response. So you can create quizzes or really anything you want, polls, things like that. But then it's like the NTN trivia games that you find at like bars or pubs. So they give you, they charge you to have one of those fancy, gigantic, basically clickers is all it is, to be able to respond to questions. But after each question shows up, the person who got the most points, who entered the correct response quicker, gets the most points, and it shows the top 5 students in the class, and my students are just trying to compete to not just get the top spot, but to even make it up to number 5 on the list. If they're not on the top 5, then it's the coolest thing ever. I love everything about it for it to be completely free. So it's at GetKahoot on Twitter, and I think it's GetKahoot.com. I hope it's .com because I said that.
They seem like they're super interactive on their Twitter account. Like I tweeted something on Wednesday or Thursday, or maybe it was Thursday or Friday about Kahoot, and I didn't even tag them. I don't think I even tagged them, and they must be searching because they tweeted us and retweeted us and favorited us. So I'm really excited about like getting teachers to use Kahoot. After you told me about it, I have played with it a little bit, but I want to play with it more because it looks much more fun than Socrative is great, but if it's you know, there are, if there are something better out there, then you should be using the best thing you can, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I should probably be a little more loyal to certain, you know, tools that I've used and loved, but maybe I'm not, that's the teacher in me. I want to use whatever's best. And so it's really simple to use. It's very simple to create a quiz. There are also public quizzes, and some people can share them. So you might be able to run your own of somebody else's. So I've created one on world religions for my social studies class. And it's actually in English because they had to do an English writing assignment for the Texas state stuff for practice for that. So it's over world religions, and it's just 12 questions, but it's just so much fun. So I'll probably tweet out the link to that one so that anybody could play that one. But I love it. Even the music in the waiting room while you're waiting on everyone to join is just, I love everything about it. So those guys are great.
Maybe we can do a Kahoot before we leave.
Yeah, we should.
That'd be fun. Okay. You want me to talk about the next thing? It's my turn.
Sure.
My turn to talk. Okay. The next thing that I found out about that I just learned about this week at this conference I was at in San Antonio is Zaption. And I had never heard of it. You had heard of it, right?
Yeah, I'd heard of it, but I hadn't messed with it.
Anyway, Zaption is totally awesome because you can pull in videos that are from YouTube. Now, obviously, you need to check copyright, and if it's just a random person you're using, try and email them and ask them if you can use their account. But basically, you can add videos to like a storyboard type thing, and you can add, then inside your video, you can put in images, you can put in text slides, drawings, and then you can have people that are watching your videos answer questions kind of like a quiz. So basically you can make this video that's interactive with all kinds of answers, just like on Google Forms, how you can create a Google Form with check boxes and multiple choice and text responses. This one even has drawing where they have to draw an answer. So what I've done is I found a video that someone created. It's about Edmodo, and I actually have added some slides in, and I don't know if I'll end up using this. This was one I practiced on, but I added in after every, you know, everything that the person in the video did, they had made it probably on Camtasia or something, and they I added video or text questions, checkbox questions, multiple choice questions, and I think it sounds like I'll be able to get analytics about who's watched it or how many people have watched it and how much time they spent in it, and I'll be able to get their answers and everything. So it's kind of a way, especially if you have kids who you think maybe are not doing, if you're doing any sort of videos that you're trying to make interactive, like flipping your class or anything like that, you can help them be accountable because they have to answer the questions. And for me, I'm really excited about that. And it's a 30-day trial is free. And then after that, it's $49 a year. But I'm pretty sure that this is going to be one I use because I have Camtasia at school and I have Snagit at school, and I can make these videos and I can really personalize them and get the teachers that I'm working with to answer questions. And, you know, I want to kind of model it for them so they can see how easy it is and maybe use it for their classes, you know.
Yeah, that seems very cool. I mean, I'm really excited about checking that out and trying that out with my classes now. You got me pumped up about that, for sure.
It is. It's very cool. I mean, it, you know, it takes a lot for me to get really excited about a product or a new app or whatever, a new program. But this was something that I thought, oh, man, I can use that. You know, that'll be great. Because it gives accountability. So it's that piece that's important to me.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, am I up again?
It's your turn. You're up to bat. Go.
I don't know. I'm gonna ignore Mammoth, I guess. Mammoth, this is pretty cool.
Now that you've ignored it, why don't you say one line about it? Because
it's like a collaborative Pinterest, or we were talking to John earlier about maybe adding all of our resources on something like another tool, but I think we should use Mammoth to do that instead. But other people could go. You can allow other people to add to it also. So it's sort of a beautiful Pinterest, and it gives you, and it all, it's also has 6 gigs of space. So it doesn't have to be links. These could be actual anything. It could be videos that you upload. I mean, I would upload things to everything. I upload everything to all my videos to YouTube, and so I link to those. but I don't know, maybe not after the YouTube stuff that's happened this week and it's driving me crazy with Google. But this works with files. So any of your PDFs, you get 6 gigs of space with Mammoth free to add to, and you can add all those things to your boards. So you can upload that. It's collaborative. It's sort of a project workspace. But I was thinking we could use it as a resource for us to go ahead and just share all of the things that we're sharing on the podcast. So I guess that would be the thing that I'm talking about because I just talked about it. So
it looks like you have to have a referral thing, right? Like it says, and it says when five of your friends sign up, you'll move to the top of the activation queue.
So I guess I'm just lucky to have gotten in early. But it seems like it's going to be a really neat tool. So I'll make that one my tool then and move on.
Well, you can keep going because that was all I had that was interesting so far.
Oh, well, geez. You know what? I don't know. It's been a while since we've done this. I'm going to blame it on that. But I think GoNoodle might be worth a look for elementary teachers. It's for, I'd say maybe, I think it probably says kindergarten through fifth grade. But even my sixth grader sometimes. It's a place for a brain break. And it's these games, but they're not really games. The first one I tried is basically you become a bubble and then you float around the country. And as you float, you breathe in and breathe out. It's a way to, it's for mental health and for just for relaxation sort of techniques, things like that to give you a break from work. And have you seen it?
Noodle. I haven't. I have not.
It seems pretty neat. Well, both of you. I was talking to both of you, but since he's back.
I just popped back in. Hi.
Right? Hey, how's it going again?
Because I'm looking, I can see the Google Doc. You guys have some cool stuff here. See, this is what I'm telling you. I'm serious. Like, some of these things, Jake was like, oh, everybody's heard it. No, I haven't heard
of
this.
No, yeah.
Well, you have to have been a big fan of this, right?
Right. Now, that I had heard of.
But well, yes. We haven't mentioned that yet. Do you want to be the person to say that? And then we can.
Okay. Oh, okay. I can say something good. Okay, so I think one of the new things is I was just talking to someone that was in charge of a school district the other day, educational technology, and they were talking about how they've kind of wavered and waffled between Google Chromebooks and iPads, but now when I was discussing them, I like both of them. I mean, right, I'm iPad Sammy, but I'm not just a one-trick pony, so don't even think it. But so anyway, I am kind of an Apple fanboy, but we were just talking about, you know, Chromebooks will save you money, but the thing with iLife now and all those suites of apps coming in that are very creative, it's making a little bit more of a, and this is what the tech person said, makes a little bit more of a compelling argument for iPads for her now. She was kind of leaning Chromebooks, but now that the iLife, the iMovie, the Numbers, Pages, Keynote, all that stuff is free.
GarageBand.
That's a lot of money saved. And that adds
a
lot of...
Per device.
Per device. That's a lot of added value back to creativity, which is what she... And, you know, she was just talking about maybe the Chromebooks... You know, she was talking about maybe she would get the Chromebooks, but she was thinking that now the iPads might be more the way to go, especially in just, like, elementary classrooms. So...
We go back and forth. Kenya and I go back and forth on this a lot. We've had conversations about it, too. Because, well, she says that you talk about the iPad minis, and the iPad minis are very comparable to the price for Chromebooks.
Right, and I really like I have to say, I had an iPad 4 that I got from my new job, and I really then I got an iPad mini. I used the iPad mini completely, and I gave up the regular-sized iPad. It seemed too big and clunky to me. So I really like the iPad mini, and I was even presenting at places just straight off my iPad mini because it was easier. I like the size of the iPad mini. It's nice. So, yeah, that when you can go down a little bit in price, and now you can get iMovie, because I think that iMovie is one of the most versatile apps for kids in the classroom. I've used it with first graders and kindergartners, and they can, after they get the hang of it, they can work it with relative ease. So it's a big deal. I think that's maybe why Apple did that. Maybe they thought in the back of their mind. I saw an article the other day where it says like 20% of schools that go one to one are starting Chromebooks now or something. Mm-hmm. It's getting to be a bigger chunk. So
yeah,
and we just thought, you know, it's cool. So I think that it's whatever you want. Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
And the other thing is that minis now, like, you can get them, you used to be able to get them in a 10-pack and they'd be $309 each. And now they're down to $299, and I'm thinking if they're a 10-pack, they might be, like, $279, you know, with the discount. So they're going down even further, which $279 isn't bad to me, you know, for a device. So I don't know. Plus, you're getting like $35 worth of apps for each one, right? If you get all that iLife stuff, at least $35 or more. I don't know. It's about $35, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money. I mean, it's a substantial amount. And I don't know how it goes in for, like, reciprocity for schools that already bought all this stuff. They're kind of out of luck. But this is one where she was talking about now that she waited, it might have been to her benefit.
Right, you know? right. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I just think about at least the $30 per device, though. If you're a district that's that many, it's thousands. You know, it adds up.
$30 per student, and you have all that creativity. We were also just talking about the difference between, I used to work in Las Vegas, which was PC, then I moved up to Alaska, which was Apple, and I remember when I first moved up there, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't right click, this is horrible, blah, 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 and then I actually went and took in and was one of their ed tech leaders is what they called them, and I went to class for 2 weeks, and we used GarageBand, and we used iMovie, and then I was like, I get it now. People in Hollywood and that like to create things use Apple products to make movies and things like that, and Final Cut Pro, and business people use PCs. And so I think you need to use both of them platforms so that you can have a wide variety of choices, don't you think, when you go and you don't think you should use both platforms?
A PC?
Yeah. I mean, you should have at least some knowledge of PC-based stuff. I mean,
I guess because I'm forced to use a PC at school now as my school computer. I use my Chromebook for the most part I can do a lot for my Chromebook. I'll be the Chromebook person out of the group I think that it really is something you go back and forth about, because I love for Apple, for iPads, for iPad minis. I love having the two cameras and the AR stuff, that kind of stuff. But because it is much more difficult to take a picture of things, to walk around with the Chromebook taking pictures of things.
Right.
But I guess the iPads, the keyboards that you can get for them, that sometimes people want to start decking them out with everything. And kids don't need that. Kids want touchscreen. And so the Chromebooks don't have a touchscreen. And so they're not used to that. But, you know, Pixel does for how much money is a Pixel? $1,500 or something?
Right.
And at that point, buy a MacBook. So I'm back and forth on all of it. But I love my Chromebook. I can do so much with it, too. But, you know,
Chrome's my main browser. Whenever I'm on my Mac, I use Chrome. I don't use Safari.
Then you can Chromecast with that for cheaper with your iPad to Chrome for cheaper than Apple TV.
We got the Chromebooks are our main prize here at Camp Austin. We've got two of them, and we got one donated by Region 13 by Brian Doyle, and he also threw in the Chromecast, which I really wanted, and I thought about just saying to these guys, hey, you just donated a Chromebook. I don't know what happened to the Chromecast in my pocket. Because I want it. So
we could have an entire show just about that. That could be that's a big deal right now. What do people pick? People, and it's, you know, based on the needs of the kids first. You always got to think of that. But it really is. It's a tough decision to make. And
it is. And
the people
who
are making those decisions aren't really thinking everything through all the time.
Right.
I think when we talked to Brett Clark, who's a tech person just north of Louisville in Indiana. And I was really interested to hear about his Chromebook rollout, because we had just been through the whole iPad one-to-one rollout in our school district. So I just listened to it, and it sounds like we took a long time to get our iPads rolled out last year. It was almost a year-long process just with getting the bond passed and all this stuff. He got these Chromebooks, he said, 3 days before school, bam, they were done. And that, I mean, so if you're looking for, like, I don't want this extended period of rollout, I just want the kids using stuff as soon as possible, Chromebooks might really be the way to go.
Or if you're not one-to-one. If you're not one-to-one and you need multiple people to use it, then it's so difficult whenever my kids use, we go back and forth, but whenever they use the iPads, stuff's gone all the time. Because other kids from other classes will delete apps. They're on carts still, and I hate carts.
Right.
But with Chromebooks, you can, multiple users is just not an issue at all. On iPads, it completely can be, because we have one district or one school login where we get apps. So if one kid knows the password, then the apps, we have all of them set up so that the apps will show up on everybody's. So there's Candy Crush on every iPad. And so everybody go and hold down and make him dance and delete Candy Crush. So let's get rid of him. And Subway Surfer and the things, and not that there's no educational value. I'm just don't want. I mean, I don't want them to think that these are devices for games. And there's a lot of games that I love. She knows I'm a big Space Team fan, but there's so much, you know, that so many things to consider, and that's one of those. If you're going one to one, iPads, you know,
iPad, right? And the thing is, too, I think that the world. I mean, how often am I saved by Google Drive? In my daily life, the turn-in process in the workflow on iPads can be difficult for teachers to understand. And Google Drive is just not that way, and it auto saves for you. The kids can work collaboratively really easy. It's like 1, 2, 3, here's a document, bam. Jake and I are working on a document. I mean, I love Google Drive. It saves me constantly.
Yes,
and Google Drive's not just the tools with Google anymore now. Shelley Terrell and I were talking last night about so many Drive apps that are now available that if you click on create and then go down to add apps, does it say add apps down there? I could probably click and see. There are so many there that you can connect to Drive now, and it's just some amazing ones, some just fantastic stuff. So that you don't ever have to go to those sites, or you don't have to click on a Chrome web app to get to those. You can just go to Drive, create new. Drive should be the place that my kids go whenever they get on their Chromebook. They go to Drive first. So wow. Okay, that was a lot. We're talking an awful lot about this,
but it's a legitimate decision. If we had a bond, my kids go to Austin ISD, and they passed a big bond. They've got a big decision ahead. What do they do with this money? Now they've gotten past this money for $85 million. What do they do? We wish they could buy technology people so at each campus so that they're not so spread thin, but they can't because they have to buy hardware with it. So what are they going to buy? And I'll be interested to see, because if they choose the wrong, if they don't make one of those choices, I'm going to be a little bit upset if they continue to go with this presentation station thing. That's ridiculous.
Or maybe they can get Surfaces.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Right, for free.
Choose a Windows device.
Right. But it's just interesting things. There's that one school district that's out there that I think they took the Surfaces.
I know. Yep.
Is that one under Creek? Mm. So they took the Windows tablet, so we'll have to see how that goes for them.
They chose the wrong door.
it's like that one, let's make a deal.
They chose Zonk. Yep, they got the Zonk, all right.
Kenya, I haven't let you talk in a while. That almost brought me, I think like that should bring us to that to my favorite segment of the show.
Yes, do it. Do it.
Because it's you're doing it wrong. That was it. Choosing a Surface as your tablet for a school district.
Yes.
That's the one. But I do have one for this week besides that, although that should have been it.
This is a good one.
That's whenever teachers now, to begin with, I had the conversation where on the laptops at school, we have a cart for each, for Chromebooks, for laptops, and for iPads. I never check out the ones for the actual laptops that are PC laptops. But the teachers at the school were complaining that they need to have PowerPoint on there, that we need to get the new version of PowerPoint loaded onto these computers. And I was like, dear Lord, no. But even if I can get them teachers, or if the teachers are using Google Presentations, my you're doing it wrong this week is that they have kids create their own individual presentations without sharing them and having them collaborate and work together on. So I know, and it took my kids some getting used to. My sixth graders have never used any of these tools, and so this is the first year for them. I made them work on one presentation. I had five kids working on one Google presentation, and so I started them off with each their own slide and used Octopus to let them. It's almost time for the Google Guru tip, isn't it? So I had used Octopus to send it out to them, so they had basic slides, five slides to start off with. But they picked it up. They figured it out. If somebody messed everything up, they looked at the revision history and they learned to use it. They need to learn to collaborate. They don't need to work in isolation. They certainly don't need to sit and have an awesome Google tool like Google Presentations and work on their own presentation. You're doing it wrong if you're having them each create their own presentation.
Right.
You're doing it wrong.
But, you know, hey, I heard a really good session from RSCon 4. It was by this guy named John Samuelson, and he talked about how teachers need to give – it was like giving up control in the classroom, and I think that that's one of those things that's control. I mean, even though maybe it doesn't sound like it, but it's like teachers have done it that way for 20 years, and they're not going to give up doing it by PowerPoint. You know, they still want to do it on PowerPoint. No.
That's true. We have those conversations, too, about the PowerPoint. But we have those conversations in the context of what's the oldest possible thing that you could do, you know, that... Let's everybody get on. Everybody get on
and play Reader Rabbit.
No, load up Netscape Navigator.
Oh, Reader Rabbit. Load up Netscape Navigator. That's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
Those were good. That shows you how long I've been there for. I remember we got the internet in our school. That was a banner for me. I was like,
that's awesome.
Wow. I know that was there was seriously a time when I taught where we didn't have internet. We were just getting a computer lab with the internet.
Wow. That is exciting. All right, I want
to... I still wanted to use HyperStudio or something
no,
like that.
We did... You know what? I would say I used PowerPoint a little bit when... I would say, like, oh, gosh, like 2000, 2001. It was cool, and then I was like, okay, this is really cool. And I you know, everybody used it a little bit, I guess. But, yeah, I liked it when I first used it.
That element of collaboration is just a mind-blowing. That's the biggest change for me, is working together on all of these
things. Work together and teach people. That's how people work in the real world. They work together.
All right, well, what do we call in this segment, Kenya? This is my other favorite segment.
This is our Google Guru Tip. Yay!
Guru Tip. Woo! Yes.
And these are simple things. I like to share simple Google things that people can do. And this is actually one that's not just a Google tip. It turns out it's actually a searching tip. But I'm taking this power searching course that my handy-dandy friend Jake Duncan told me about, and it's on the internet, and I tweeted it the other day. And one of my favorite things that I've learned so far is Control-F on a PC or Command-F on a Mac to search a page for a specific word. And I love it. It's a productivity thing. I'm sure you know about it already, Sammy, right?
I don't know any of those. No. I don't know any commands at all. I'm really like smoke and mirrors. But no, I was like, I can see that.
Yeah, it's really cool, though, because like, I'm searching for stuff, and I come to a page, and I am looking for what I started using it on was at school. I used it this week. We have a Google Doc that has all the kids' names in it, and every sheet is a different grade. And for my after-school club, I was sending home different notes home to some of the girls, and I needed to find out what class they were in. So I did Command-F on my Mac, and then I searched their name. Like if their name was Susie, I typed in Susie, and it did a highlight on their name so I could see so quickly, and I didn't have to just scan with my eyes. I could see what class they were in, and it just makes it so easy when there's like all sorts of names, especially. So, that's my Google Guru tip.
I love it. That's a good one.
I think I'm gonna have to go help collect names now.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we've enjoyed it here. This has been great.
Thank you very much. It isn't an Ed Camp if you two don't come.
If
you guys aren't here, then I'm not having fun.
All right.
Well, I love that one. That one, I think, really is handy. I think that we probably need to go ahead and talk about a few of those sometime that are just the function keys that everybody needs to know.
Yeah.
And that's a great one to start with that we'll talk about more later on, but I think that's a fantastic one to start with, that just comes in handy all the time.
Cool.
So did you have any anything that you would like to remind us about this
Inspire
week?
Inspire with? Well, this week for Motivational Monday, I do a motivational kind of mini podcast for my teachers. It's basically for my teachers, but I end up tweeting it out. And if you haven't heard of the Holste Manifesto, it's H-O-L-S-T-E, two E's, Holste Manifesto, and you could just Google it and find it. But it's basically just a statement about finding your passion and finding where your passion is and following it. And I think that people just need to remember, especially in education, November, we're kind of getting up to Christmas and Thanksgiving, and people are tired now, and it's you know, people are frustrated with things sometimes at this point. Hopefully not too much, but, you know, people are frustrated, and I think it's just important to remember to find your passion and know where it is and be doing stuff that you care about. You know, don't just do it because you feel like you have to do it. Find your passion and follow it. You know, if you're not happy with your job, one of the lines from the Holste Manifesto is, if you're not happy with your job, quit. And I'm not encouraging people to quit randomly, but, you know, you might not have a job before you quit. But if you're not happy with something, you change it. One of the lines is like, if you can't find the love of, or if you're looking for the love of your life, stop. You know, do things that you enjoy, because when they're there, they'll be there and you'll find them. So anyway, that's just my inspiration for the week.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that also this week. I needed that this week, and that was great listening to you. So
yeah,
that's awesome. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Anything else? Are we good to go?
Nope. See you later.